Hello. It's wonderful to see all of you. A full crowd here this morning. Hasn't it been great outside and this week in the sunshine? I love it. I love springs here and summers are coming. Last week I went to Chicago for a quick trip, just 2 days to speak at a women's conference there, Christian Women's Conference at Church in the City, one of our partnering churches. And I took Kelly Anderson and Jenna Schott with me, and we had a great time. And so the conference was Light in the Darkness, and that is exactly the passage that we're on today in our series on Ecclesia, the called out ones, signs of a healthy church from Philippians. And so Steve says, well, you just shorten that and preach it here this weekend. So that's what this is. So. Let's look at what the Bible says this morning in our passage. Philippians 2, verses 12 to 18. Dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you, and now that I am away, it is even more important. So Paul is saying one of the instructions is to, signs of a healthy church is to obey your leaders. So Paul's saying, follow me as I follow Christ. Let's live this walk of holiness. Let's walk in love Jesus and love others. And so they are obeying their leaders. Work hard to show the results of your salvation. That's walk the talk. And Steve talked about that last week. Obeying God. That's a sign of a healthy church when we obey him. With deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. We always give God credit because we don't even have that. He gave us the power and the desire to do what pleases him. Do everything without complaining and arguing. That's having controlled tongues. So that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God. That's being distinct from the world. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that today. Shining like bright lights. Shining brightly in a dark world is my title today. In a world full of crooked and perverse people, hold firmly to the word of life. Then on the day of Christ's return, I will be proud that I did not run the race in vain and that my work was not useless. But I will rejoice even if I lose my life, pouring it out like a liquid offering to God. We are living our lives as an offering to God, giving our lives as an aroma, as an offering unto him. Just like your faithful service is an offering to God. And I want all of you to share that joy. Yes, you should rejoice. And I will share your joy. So we always want to share in the joy and success of others. And praise God for that. So light is a big deal. I'm going to be talking about light today. I love the sunshine. I love electricity. When we moved up here, we strategically moved into a house that is on the same grid as Marshall Hospital. So if we lose power, it's like for half a second, it's back on. Not like some of you. Now, I know that you think that you live in a more beautiful place out there. But, yeah, sometimes you lose electricity. It's not fun, right? God said in the very beginning, let there be light. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth, and there has never not been light since, and there never will not be light since. So God said it, and God created light. Light dispels the darkness. When light is introduced, darkness disappears. But here's the thing, is darkness cannot dispel light. So if I was teaching West Side Kids and I had this big paper bag all opened up, but I had the very top closed up, and I looked in there and I said, kids, you know what's in here? A whole bunch of darkness. It's really dark in there. Do you want to see? Darkness. There's dark in there. When I count to three, I'm going to open the bag, and we're going to see the darkness come out. And we're going to see that darkness, okay? Ready? One, two, three. Pew! I open up the bag, and there's no darkness. It's light, because darkness doesn't dispel light. Light dispels darkness. In our house, we have a living room with lots of windows, and so it's light, especially when you turn on the lights and the light's coming in from the windows. And then I have an office that's off of the living room. And so when those doors are closed and the lights are out and the shades drawn, it's dark in there. When I open the door, the living room doesn't become dark. The living room stays light, and actually the light shines into the dark office. So light dispels darkness, but darkness cannot dispel light. Jesus came as light, as the light. John 12:46 says, "I have come as a light to shine in this dark world, so that all who put their trust in me will no longer remain in the dark." And John 8:12 says, "I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life." So Jesus is light, and then he tells us when we receive him, you are light as well. Jesus said that we are light. In Matthew 5:14-16, "You are the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden, no one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father." So light is not just there for light's sake. If I'm light, Jesus has made me light when I received him. I don't just go sit in a corner and be light. But light is for people. And so light goes before us and shines the way so we know where we're going. And we don't isolate ourselves. We need, as light, we need to be around people so that we can show them the light. And that's the purpose, one of the purposes of light, to shine our light. So there's a whole bunch of bright lights in this room. And you've received Jesus and your light. And if we all joined arms and like formed a big circle, a big clump of people, and we went outside and we walked together out the parking lot, and then we walked down Missouri Flat Road together, that would be a whole bunch of light. But, and that would be wonderful. It would be beautiful, this whole collection of people. But what's even more wonderful is when we gather together as light, and then we go out those doors and we disperse. And we have all these lights, and each one goes into their area of influence, their spheres. So every one of you have different people that you know, and you go in and you shine your light and you show them who Jesus is. You're representing him. So we're dispersing and going out. And so we can cover a lot of territory if we're all going into the places that God has called us to. So our culture tells us that it's all about me. Did you know that it's all about me? No, it's all about us. We each say, it's all about me. It's about my happiness. It's about what I want. It's about my rights. It's about my comfort. It's about my pleasure. It's all about me. And if I'm married, then it's all about our marriage. It's all about each other, this little unit. All about us. We just want to be happy. And if we have children, then it's all about our little families. And, you know, as long as we're happy, as long as we do whatever it takes, that we're comfortable and all that. That's what the culture says. You know, get a bigger house, get a bigger car, you know, go on bigger vacations and do all this stuff. It's all about us. But when we've truly encountered Jesus, our lives are never, ever the same. They're turned upside down in a good way and inside out, and we're never the same. And it is no longer about us. It's about him and representing Jesus to the world. So Paul, on the road to Damascus, he was continuing on and planning on continuing on persecuting Christians, killing them, imprisoning them, and he got knocked to the ground by this light, Jesus, and he was blinded for 3 days, and Jesus drew him and told him who he was, and Paul received him and said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he realized who he was and that he was to be Lord of his life, and he received him, and he was never, ever the same again. He lived his life to love Jesus and serve him and to tell others about Jesus until his dying day. So our lives, we no longer are living for ourselves. Our lives are on display for his glory. And the gospel is lived out in our lives, in our marriages, and in our families. So you can't be light in the darkness unless you have light in you. And the Bible tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we need this relationship. We need this bridge. And we can't pay enough money. We can't do enough good works to make it to God and to have relationship with him. So God, because he loved us so much, and he wants to redeem us, he sent his son Jesus to live a perfect life so that he could be the ultimate sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice on the cross when he died for you and for me, for our sins, for the world, for all who believe. It's a broad invitation. And then rose again 3 days later, and he came to save us. And so when we look to him and we believe on that and we confess and we say, "I believe that, Lord. I want to take you as Lord of my life. I want to be a Christ follower." Then we become Christians and we have that light in us. And so when we say yes to Jesus, he delivers us out of darkness. And it's like Jesus says, "Let there be light." Yes, Jesus, I believe you. I receive you as my Savior. Let there be light. And then we become these lights. We have him in us to go and shine for him in this dark world. And we share it. Acts 13:47 says, "For the Lord gave us this command when he said, 'I have made you light to the Gentiles to bring salvation to the farthest corners of the earth.'" So I have 2 points. The first point is this: shine his light. We need to shine his light. So out of gratitude for what he's done for us, we love him. We obey him. We serve him. We grow in him. We shine for him. And we become like him. Steve talked last week about becoming ambassadors or representatives of Jesus. And so we do what Jesus said. We say what Jesus said. We become more and more like him, and the kindness and the mercy and the grace that he extends to each and every one of us. That's how we are to a dark world, and loving others as well. So we're reflecting his light and showing others what Christ is like. And we tell others. Matthew 28:19-20 says, "Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." We've got some people here that are going to be baptized after the service. That's awesome. You can be part of that if you haven't been baptized. "Teaching these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you." So we're going out and we're telling people about Jesus. And we might say, "Oh, I can't do that. And I've got this huge weight of responsibility. And, you know, what do I do?" But the Bible says that he helps us. He gives us power. Acts 1:8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So all of us, everywhere we go, we have these windows of opportunity. So we have a chance to say something about Jesus, or to represent Jesus, or to be loving and kind. Windows of opportunity. So we were at this conference last week, And they had all these beautiful mason jars, and they had a paper around the outside of it with all the verses, scripture verses on light, that Jesus is the light, and all the verses having to do with light. And then there was a string of little tiny white lights in it. And it was beautiful. So when it was in the dark, it, you know, this beautiful white light. And then there were a bunch of goodies in there. And so there were probably 80 to 100 of these mason jars around in this room on the first night of the conference. And at the end of the night, they said, okay, each one of you take one of these jars of light home. And that's your gift. And so Kelly and Jenna and I, we walked from the venue of the conference three blocks to our hotel we were staying at in the cold Chicago wind. It was raining so hard that the umbrella went upside down, and we're managing our jars of light. And when I first picked up my jar of light, I said, you know, if anybody asks me about this jar of light, I'm going to testify to you, Jesus. And so we walk the three blocks, and we get to our hotel, and we go to the elevators, and it was blocked off by two security guards. They wanted to see your key card to make sure that you actually belong there. And one of the security guards was a woman, and she goes, what is that jar of light? That's beautiful. What is that? What is And I said, well, I just came from a Christian women's conference, and this represents the fact that Jesus came to this world as a light, and that when we receive him, we can also be light in the world. And so they looked at me, they looked at each other, and they looked at me, and they said, oh, that's nice. And then we went up to our room, and that was it. I believe that every word of the Lord goes out and it doesn't return void. And so take opportunities. Sometimes the conversation will continue and sometimes it won't. But I believe that that was a seed sown, and I'm praying that that's going to bear fruit. So we don't save anyway. He does. So we pray for people. We pray that the Holy Spirit will draw them and draw them to him and reveal himself to them. And that's all it takes, is God reveals himself to hearts. And they say, yes, I know this is right, I believe. But some people might reject you. John 3:20 says, all who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it, for fear their sins will be exposed. So, you know, have you ever walked into, like maybe you started a new job and you walked into a room or a gathering or maybe a new neighborhood or something, and you just get this vibe, that person doesn't like me. They don't like me. I mean, there's nothing, I've done nothing. I haven't said anything. I'm a nice person. Why wouldn't they like me? And when I get that vibe, you know what I do inside? I'm like, I'm going to make you love me. I'm going after you. That is my goal, is to make you love me. But sometimes that's going to happen. And so, you know what? The devil in them doesn't like the Jesus in you. So you just continue to be praying and loving and kind and praying for them, that God will reveal himself to them. So and shine your light. Start the conversations, shine your light. So we stay in community together in order to shine our light. We stay in community. Why? Because we need each other. We need to encourage each other, strengthen each other, comfort each other, equip each other. And so we gather together as light, and then we go out and we disperse. Remember that word? We disperse into our areas that God has called us to, individual areas to shine our light. So we gather, we disperse. We gather, we disperse. And we need each other to encourage one another, to pray for one another. And on this journey, we need to link arms and be brothers and sisters together. So my second point is, don't hide, cover, or disguise our light. Now, sometimes our distinction from the world becomes blurred. Sometimes there's no discernible difference in our light and the darkness of the world. And there's reasons for this. Life gets busy. There's no margins. You've talked about that a couple weeks ago. We get distracted. There's polarizing views. There's so much hatred. There's politically, people are here and here. And even in our values and convictions and morals, there's polarizing views. And so we need to keep our opinions that we speak out more about Jesus and the kingdom than all the stuff that is not eternal. It's temporal. And sometimes we get so inundated by that and so interested in that. And so, you know, that rules our life when it's Jesus that we want to speak out for and not against these other things. Our social media. Look at your feed. In the last 6 months, is it more about Jesus and a scripture and an encouraging word for people, or is it about this or that or products or beliefs or whatever? Romans 2:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." And Ephesians 5:8 to 11, "Once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them." And then Philippians 2:15, I'm going to read it again. "Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people." So, shining our lights. We don't want to cover it. We don't want to disguise it. He is Lord of all, or maybe he's not Lord at all. I'm going to say that again. He is Lord of all, or maybe he's not Lord at all. He needs to be everything. We can't be happy with just squeezing a little bit of Jesus in there and adding it to everything else. He is Lord, and we need to shine his light into a dark world. You know what? I hate rules and legalism and adding to rules and legalism, but here's the word of God, and this is the truth, and it's not full of legalism. It's full of truth. And God has given us this Bible. It's the inspired word of God, and it's like our love letter to us. It is the handbook for humans. It gives us instruction in the workplace, in our finances, in our families, in how to live, and what to stay away from. Why? Because God's mean? No, because he loves you, and he doesn't want you to mess up your life, and he doesn't want you to mess up other people's lives. And so sometimes the lines are blurred, and the normal becomes abnormal, and the abnormal becomes normal. And we have to know that there's distinct lines. There's light, and there's darkness. We have to know that we are people of light and that we need to live as people of light and stay away from doing things that are part of darkness. And that is how we disguise and cover our light, is by not being distinct and not knowing what is in the Word of God. So the world is very seductive, and there becomes no difference between light and darkness. We can be led astray and deceived. God wants us to love him, and part of loving him is obeying him and love others. Be kind to others, love others, love them enough to even tell them the truth. So I'm going to list some sins in the Bible. There's lots of them. And just show the way that the lines kind of get blurred, and there sometimes is no distinction. And so one of them is unforgiveness. And, you know, that's something in our culture. It's like, you do something to me, and, you know, I'm never going to have anything to do with you again. God, Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He forgave us a whole lifetime of sins. What we've done, what we're doing, what we may do in the future, he's forgiven us of all of it. It's like we've won the lottery plus gazillion times. And we say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for forgiving me. I receive you into my life. And then we go out and we say, oh, no, I'm not forgiving you. You really hurt me. And I'm not going to forgive you. That's something that is very, very clear. It's not okay to not forgive. We must forgive. Anger and rage. We see that. Gossip. How about this biggie? Fornication. Fornication is having sex outside of marriage. If you're single or are you young people, it's not okay. And if the Bible is clearly against that. Why? Because it's going to hurt you and it's going to mess up other people too. And so if someone is pressuring you in the sexual area of having sexual activity with somebody and you're not married to them or you're not married, period, that's not okay. They don't love you in a godly kind of love. They love you in a selfish way where they just want what they want. And so a godly person that you date would not put that pressure on you because they want you to follow Jesus. They want you to obey him, and they want you to do all that God has called you to do and to be. And so so the lines blur, right? And we say in our culture, we say, well, God just wants me to be happy. This makes me happy, makes my boyfriend or girlfriend happy. And no, you're light. If you're a believer of Jesus, you're light. And that is deeds of darkness. So don't disguise yourself. I'm light, but I'm going to act like darkness. I'm really darkness. Don't do that. How about dishonesty in business dealings? We've got to stay pure, have these godly standards. How about cheating at work? Either you're cheating on your time or you're taking stuff home. How about, here's two biggies, abortion and practicing homosexuality. Our culture and this generation defines their convictions, their morals, what they believe, based on their relationships with others. So they have a friend who is practicing these sins, and they're like, oh, but they're such a good person. God wants them to be happy. It's okay. And it's okay today because this is a new age. It's a new culture. But the Bible is timeless, and it tells us it's not okay. And so we have to know what we believe and base our convictions, our strong convictions and values on the Word of God. God, what are you telling me to do? Sometimes it's not clear cut in the Word of God, but there's principles that you can look at and say, well, I think that is not a good thing to do. How about even unbelief? You know, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And sometimes we say, I believe in God, but I don't believe God. You know, I don't believe I can get out of this. And he wants you to know that all things work together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And he wants you to be able to trust in him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. So being fearful and anxious and afraid, we're all going through tough times. Some of us are going through really tough times right now. But God is faithful, And we may go through tough times, but he is faithful. And we can believe him that he will work things together for good. We can believe him that we can trust him. He's faithful and he's good and he will bring us through. He will never leave us or forsake us. So darkness cannot dispel the light. But we can cover our light. We can hide our light. We can disguise our light so that we're no different from the world. Matthew 5:15. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. Be light. Shine your light. Don't disguise it. Shine it brightly. Light is attractive. We're going to be light, and we don't have to be weird. And we don't have to be like, oh, that person, you know, what generation or what century did they come out of? We don't have to be weird, but we're light, and it's attractive, and we're loving people. We're shining for people, and we're speaking the truth in love, not with judgment and condemnation. This Bible is also called the sword, and it's an offensive weapon in our hands against the enemy, against the devil. And we use this as an offensive weapon against him. We don't use this as an offensive judgmental weapon when we're dealing with other brothers and sisters in the Lord or even people out there. We use it as a skilled surgeon. This word is in our hands as a scalpel, as a skilled surgeon with wisdom in using it and with love. And so it's all out of love. It's like, I love you enough to tell you the truth. And if you keep going down that road, it's not going to be good. It's going to get worse. Let me tell you what the Bible says, and let me tell you why it says this. And let me pray with you. Let me stand with you. Let me walk you through this and get to the other side as brothers and sisters in the Lord. So now what? We become beacons of light and shine for his glory. Watch for those windows of opportunity. Start the conversation. And I want to say this, that God is a redemptive God. So any of these things that I've talked about, if you've had a hand in them at all, if you've maybe supported somebody or, you know, had a hand in talking them into getting an abortion, or you've any of these things, God forgives. You repent, and I like to say this, admit it. And quit it and move on. So we repent before him, and he forgives us, and we can walk in freedom. We don't have to walk in shame and say, oh, I did this, and I'm bad, and I have to punish myself. And no, we can say, okay, God, thank you. I'm so grateful. Thank you that you're a God of mercy and grace. And walk forward. Philippians 3:13 and 14 says, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ, of God in Christ Jesus. So it's not all about you. It's not all about me. It's about Jesus who died to set you free and to use you to shine your light and bring freedom to someone else in darkness. Shine our light. So will you bow your heads with me and pray? Maybe you have become busy and distracted. Maybe you've been satisfied with squeezing a little bit of Jesus in. Maybe you haven't taken opportunity when you could have to speak for what you know is right. Maybe you've gotten a little off track in your convictions. Maybe you've let your distractions get in the way of keeping Jesus your priority. Or you've realized there's no longer a distinction between you and the world. Sin is sin. There's no levels of sin. If there's anything that you need to repent of, just say, God, I'm sorry. I repent and I give this to you. And I ask you to forgive me. And then take his forgiveness and walk in freedom. Lord, thank you for this word. Thank you that you came as light. Thank you that we can be light in the darkness. Lord, help us to have these windows of opportunity, and help us in our speech, in our actions, the people that we are. Lord, I pray that we would represent you and that we would love people, that we would see people as you see them. You saw them and you love them so much that you died on the cross for them. So, Lord, give us that love for people. Lord, that we would love and pray and speak to others that we are come in contact with. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.